Welcome to TTM Cast, your sports collectibles podcast.
Sponsored by CGC Cards, card grading all in one place. CGC Cards is devoted to expert grading of collectible cards, including TCGs, sports cards, and non-sports cards.
And by SportsCollectorsDaily.com. If it happens in the hobby, you'll find it on SportsCollectorsDaily.com.
And sponsored by GemRate.com. The latest grading statistic from the four major grading companies is just a click away. Visit GemRate.com. It's free.
And now, here's our host, Drew Pelto.
Hello, everybody, and welcome once again to TTM Cast, your sports collectibles podcast, where we talk all things related to TTM, cards, autographs, collecting, a whole lot more. This is season number 6, episode 17, coming to you on May 18th of 2024, and you're listening to a nationally ranked sports collectibles podcast. Before we start this week's show, I have a serious topic that needs to be addressed before we get into anything else. I need to remind all of our listeners that if you have questions, comments, or other show-related missives, the only appropriate way to contact us is via the email address we provide each week, ttmcast@yahoo.com. Do not attempt to contact anyone related to the show via phone or mail or personal email addresses unless you have been given express consent by them to do so. The Baker family also is requesting that people stop contacting them immediately about the status of Jeff's collection. Also, if you have any criticism, slander, threats, or otherwise disgusting remarks, own up to it, sign your name to your words. Grow a pair, be a man, and stand by what you say. Because if you won't do that, we don't want you as a listener. And I think I speak for everyone else listening when I say that we don't even want you involved in our hobby if you're going to do stuff like that. Any and all harassment coming to members of the show, whether it's myself, Troy, Les, Clementi, the Baker family, any of our guests or co-hosts, will be forwarded to the United States Postal Inspectors, and you'll have far bigger problems than just an irate host. Frankly, it shows a pathetic state of humanity that I even have to make this statement. However, we still do encourage all listeners to contact us with questions, suggestions, thoughts for the show, but please do so only through the appropriate channels. I hope I've made myself perfectly clear on this issue moving forward. That being said, welcome to this week's show. Aaron Littleton sitting in the co-host seat here this week. Aaron, good to have you back on the show here once again. Second time in, what, like a month and a half now?
Yeah, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me. I'm hanging out this morning in a very woodsy Lufkin, Texas. I'm here for, we have our gymnastics state meet. So I was happy to hop on right quick and co-host this week. It'll be great.
Woodsy and Texas are not two words that tend to really go together. If somebody says woodsy, you're thinking like, I don't know, Minnesota or Michigan or something like that. So Texas, all right, there you go. So Lufkin, I you say Lufkin, it's like you mentioned that. I'm like, I don't even know where Lufkin is off the top of my head. So yeah, there we go.
So it is very East Texas. It's about 6 hours from, you know, five, six hours from Wichita Falls, where I'm normally from. And so, yes, yeah, so very East Texas. It's right around Nacogdoches. It's not that far from Houston. So nice. Kind of that area. And, yes, there are woods out here. Trust me.
That's shocking. Green and Texas, just they don't typically go together. But check out the sports world here. I mean, biggest news right now, of course, playoffs going on in the NHL and the NBA. The big winner, Matt Duchene, with the series-clinching goal for the Stars over his previous team last night. So, good on him, I guess, or something like that. Over on the other side, the Panthers advancing over the Bruins as the Bruins choke away a 1-0 lead and give up the game-winning goal with 93 seconds left in their game. So, I guess it could always be worse. He could end up, I mean, teams could end up doing something like that. I don't know, something, but... So, yeah, we've got those advancing. We've got the Rangers, of course, have already advanced. And I think we're just waiting on what the winner of the Canucks and Oilers series to get down to the NHL's Final Four.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's been thrilling. You know, it's been a really good year. And I do not say that just because the Stars have advanced. But, yeah, I mean, there's nothing like playoff hockey.
Meanwhile, over in the NBA, I know the Celtics have advanced. I think the Mavericks are at least still alive. I don't know if they've advanced yet or not, but they're at least they're doing things. So there's that. But yeah, and I really have not followed basketball that closely, which is typical of me. But the NBA playoffs, they exist as well. I can tell you that much, at least.
Indeed. I'm not watching very much basketball these days either, but from what I see on my Facebook feed, it seems like it's going strong for sure.
Well, my check out our weeks here in just a brief synopsis of our weeks in collectibles. I have not had a whole lot going on. Some eBay pickups, though. Got my Ryan Sandberg and Burt Blylevin cards in that I ordered. Got those mailed out. I think I already mentioned that last week because I had just written the written everything and put those together. But hey, they are at least out and sent on to get signed. I'm trying to think if I picked up anything else, and I can't think of anything off the top of my head. Got a new graphing bag, at least, so yay for that. I've joined the world of you backpack people out there, and got one that actually holds my my big book that I just made here, so that's great, because rain delays, I really don't want it getting rained on, so I figure, all right, let's get a bigger bag there in that case. So got that going for me, which is nice, and well, we had our attempt at doing Frisco versus San Antonio last week, and oh boy, was that a bust. We got rained out on Sunday afternoon.
No. And so for the first thing, I'm happy that you've you joined the backpack people. I've been a part of that community for quite some time, and it's good. It holds all your stuff, and I enjoy it. So hopefully you'll have much success with your new bag. But yeah, obviously, unfortunately, San Antonio, you know, Frisco getting rained out wasn't super fun. But yeah. You know, it was Mother's Day. I took my mom to the Hard Eight, got some barbecue, so it wasn't a complete wash.
I'm still concerned about the convenience of the backpack, because I like with the messenger bags having, you know, right down next bag and shove something in there real quick if I need to and get something else out, whereas with the backpack, it's behind me, so I'm a little concerned, but we'll give this a shot and see how well it works out.
All right, sounds good.
Well, on this week's show, we are joined by Les Wolf for the More From Less segment. We're talking about the whole Tom Brady saga that happened a couple weeks ago with his super expensive signing where he completely hacked everybody's items, and covering a little bit more about overpriced signatures and all that kind of stuff. So make sure you stick around for that. And before we go into More With Less, we will have Baker's Dozen covering all the news in the world of sports collectibles from the previous week. After that, we'll have Making the Grade covering all things about the world of grading. The TTM Cast Stamp of Approval, where Aaron and I will give our thumbs up to something from the previous week. Never know what it's going to be out of us. The Vern Rap Minute, covering deaths in the world of sports, celebrity music, movies, politics, all of anybody you might consider TTMing. If they've died, we will let you know. And the main reason why we're here, why you're tuning in, it is our TTM returns. If you want to contact us, I know I've already mentioned this once in the show, but Aaron, what's the best way and the only way that people should contact us?
That email is ttmcast@yahoo.com.
There you go. So questions, comments, anything like that, go ahead and send them our way on there. And of course, if you want to contact me directly, that's one of the few personal email addresses that I'll give out and approve of there. That is dfwgraffer@gmail.com. I think the intro's out of the way. Let's move on to Baker's Dozen.
Baker's Dozen, sponsored by sportscollectorsdaily.com.
Smart collectors turn to Sports Collectors Daily to stay up to date. From new releases to incredible collections hitting the auction block, news from inside the business of sports collectibles, and much more, Sports Collectors Daily has it, all with no subscription cost. SC Daily also delivers a live look at the most watched sports card auctions on eBay for every sport. Sign up to get the headlines in your email for free, or just visit the website whenever you like. With 16,000 stories in the archive going back 16 years, there is always plenty to read at sportscollectorsdaily.com.
Baker's Dozen is a news summary of all things from the world of sports collectibles that has gone on the previous week, plus some items that are worth knowing about that are upcoming in this world as well. I want to remind you about Five Star Dynasty. You can find them on Instagram at Five Star Dynasty Game. Their website is fivestardynasty.com. They may be going through a name change here at some point. Have not heard officially yet if that's going to happen or what it's going to be, but it might be in the works due to some trademark and copyright kind of things going on there. But they still, I believe, have the Instagram bonus going on for our listeners. If you buy a copy of their upcoming game, contact them on Instagram, send them a DM on there, let them know that you're a TTM Cast listener who has bought a copy of the game. They might have an actual bonus there to throw in for you. Also, a reminder, check out Sports Collectors Daily for my weekly article on all things TTM. You can see all the TTMs that I get in on there. This past week, I did not have an article, which I'll admit, I completely forgot about writing it because, I mean, as Aaron and I talked about in the intro, my graphing session got canceled, so I got nothing there. I had nothing in the mailbox last week either, so having nothing to write about made me kind of just completely forget that I had anything to write. So no articles past week. We'll have one upcoming this week, though, where you get to see my TTMs from this week, and we'll talk a little bit about how to mail out larger items to be signed if you want to try to TTM anything like a photo or a baseball or anything like that. So make sure to go check that out, sportscollectorsdaily.com. We got a whole lot of hobby news to talk about this week, including a little bit from the auction world. The rarest of rare Sandy Koufax cards will be up for bids this summer with Heritage Auctions. The 1962 Pittsburgh Exhibits 7 of Diamonds card is believed to be the only one of its kind. There are at least seven other copies of the 7 of Hearts card with Koufax on it. Only one 7 of Diamonds, though, has ever been found. This was graded a PSA 3. It will be part of the July auction coming up at HA.com.
And GameStop stores, the video game giant, in 7 states are now buying not just games and consoles, but also PSA-graded cards. Cards must be at least a graded 8 with a value of under $500 and will be redeemable for store credit or cash. The company has been selling boxes and other collectibles like Funkos, but this is the first time they've ventured into buying and selling of individual cards.
Not my bingo card for this week, hearing about a GameStop getting into cards at all, so cool to see, though. A former employee of Augusta National has pled guilty to the theft of several pieces of memorabilia from the club. Richard Globenski admitted to stealing and selling items, including a letter signed by club founder Bobby Jones, green jackets owned by Arnold Palmer and Ben Hogan, and a couple of others. The thefts happened between 2009 and 2022 while he was employed there and netted him over $5 million prior to his arrest in April of 2022. Sentencing will come on October 29th. Got some new card releases coming up here as well this week. Aaron, you lead it off here. What do you got?
All right. We've got 2023 Topps Chrome Platinum Anniversary Baseball. That releases on May the 22nd. You'll get 4 cards per pack, 24 packs per box, 1 autograph per box, and cards are done in the 1954 design. Pre-sale price is $140.
Thing to see, they're kind of, echoing the echoing Heritage now, just in a chrome format there. So interesting to see that. Not sure how big a fan I am. Not sure if I'll be picking any of that up at all. Over in the soccer world, we've got the 2023-24 Topps Chrome Bundesliga set will be coming out also on May 22nd. See 4 cards per pack, 20 packs per box. That is 80 cards total for those of you who are not mathematically inclined. 1 autograph, 6 refractors, 3 Titans, and 1 Ultra Beam insert, all found in that box. Presale prices on those will run $75.
I know that you just wanted to say Bundesliga.
Yeah. Ich bin ein Kleiner.
Then we also have 2023-24 Panini Select H2 Basketball. That drops on May the 22nd. There are 6 cards per pack, 4 packs per box. And there will also be 6 prisms per box. And the pre-sale price for that is $300.
Days later, it'll be Panini Clearly Donruss Football coming out. That is May the 24th. 20 cards in this box. 5 cards per pack, 4 packs per box. You'll see 1 autograph, 1 insert, 2 parallels, and 8 rated rookies in each of these boxes. I believe they're all printed on like a clear plastic as well. So really cool looking set going on there. Resale price on that, $275 a box.
And then we also have 2023 Panini Chronicles WWE. I'm a huge wrestling fan. I know you are too, Ryan.
Oh, you know it big time.
Who's your favorite wrestler?
That guy, the one that wins all the time. I don't know, the one from Cleveland, I think, is let's go with that one. There's at least 2 of those, but yeah.
I knew it would be a Cleveland guy. Yes. And so Panini Chronicles WWE drops on May the 24th. There will be 8 cards per pack, 6 packs per box, and you will get 2 autos per box, and the pre-sale price is $200.
For soccer coming out on May 24th as well, the 2023 Panini Select Serie A set is coming out. 5 cards per pack with 12 packs per box, 60 cards in total right there. You'll see 3 autographs or memorabilia cards in each box, plus 7 inserts and 14 parallels. No info yet on the pre-sale price of that. When I was checking out Steel City Collectibles, they did not have a price list. I think they either have already sold out or do not have it up for sale yet on the pre-sale there. But keep an eye out. It's coming out. If you're a soccer collector, you'll know when it hits, and you'll know if it's in your price range.
And definitely the most interesting thing that I've got to say so far today, 2024 Leaf Metal Pickleball drops on May the 24th. There are 10 cards per box, 5 numbered autos, and 5 numbered parallels, and the pre-sale price is $132.
I had to give that one to you because I was hoping to get you looking at it going, what the crap is this or something, and you did not disappoint, so well done.
Yeah, that it's not every day that I get to announce a dropping of a pickleball product. That's a highlight of my day for sure.
Absolutely. Well, if you want to pick any of those up, we've got some upcoming shows to talk about here as well. First off, if you're out in Colorado, the Denver Card Show takes place on May 24th through the 26th. That is a Friday through a Sunday. So the Crown Plaza Convention Center in Denver. Admission is $15, and it will get you in for the entire weekend. If you want to go to a single day, $15. If you want to go for all 3 days, $15 total. Definitely worth checking out. If you're a Denver Broncos collector, they're going to have 4 former players signing autographs there. Philip, or even current players, because Philip Lindsay, I believe, still plays for them right now, but he'll be signing there. Mark Schlereth will also be there, along with 2 of the receivers on those late 80s Super Bowl runner-up teams, as Mark Jackson and Vance Johnson will both be there signing as well. DenverCardShows.com is the site to check out for more info on the Denver Card Show.
There's also the Illinois Valley Show on May the 25th. It's going on at Peru Mall in Peru, Illinois, and admission is free. So there's definitely no excuse for non-going. They will have 70 tables, and former Cubs Guy Hoffman and Steve Trout will be there signing autographs. You can check out csac.biz for more information.
And lastly, if you're down in the southeastern part of the U.S., the Haywood Mall in Greenville, South Carolina will have the Greenville Sports Cards and Collectibles Show on May 25th. Free admission to that one as well. If you're a Clemson football fan, well, they're going to have a couple guys signing there with Khalil Barnes and Bryant Wesco Jr., both there as autographed guests. If you need more info, go and check out WilderSideOfSports.com for all the info about that show and about the signers. Well, that about does it for Baker's Dozen. Right now, we're going to go talk to Les Wolf here in More From Less.
And now, it's time for More From Less with hobby legend Les Wolf.
It's football season. There's no better time to get your NFL stars, rookies, and veteran cards graded. CGC Cards offers fast turnaround times, so you get your cards back even faster. They have crystal clear holders, so your cards shine. And best yet, all starting at just $12 a card. Head to cgccards.com to start grading your cards today.
Les Wolf, first ballot Hobby Hall of Famer. We're talking to him a little bit about some overpriced autographs and what Tom Brady did a couple weeks ago and all, and any of the potential fallout that could come of that. So please enjoy More From Less as we're joined by Les Wolf. All right. Well, we're here with More From Less. Les Wolf joining us here to talk about some of the latest autograph news and some of the stories that are going on right now. But first, before we get into that, Les, any cool pickups that you've had here recently at all?
Well, I'm working on a pretty cool baseball. I'm not sure the family's going to sell it, but I made a crazy offer for it. Ruth on a sweet spot, a vintage mantle on a side panel.
Wow.
Also, through one of the police departments, is a wallet signed by Ruth Garrick, Pennock, Nick Altrock, and Joe McCarthy on the inside. And when I took it out of the frame, there was another Ruth and a Bill Dickey on a different part. But the problem is, it's actually on a leather wallet. So the Ruth and the Garrick on the outside are a little light. They're not perfect. Garrick is a little lighter than the Ruth, but the second Ruth inside is much nicer. So, who knows, if I get those two things, it'd be awesome.
That would be amazing. I mean, I've never thought of a signed wallet ever popping up or anything, but I suppose, it makes sense because, people would carry them around all the time.
I personally have never seen anything like that before. It's just a unique collectible. But like I told the detective that was handling it, it's something that I wouldn't hold on to for another 50, 60 years, because the autographs are going to fade more into the leather, and there's nothing you could do at all to enhance it or to preserve it, really, outside of just keeping it, in a vacuum-packed frame and not seeing any light.
Speaking of some high-end autographs, the big story from a couple weeks ago, we talked about it briefly with I think it was with Troy a couple weeks ago on here. Tom Brady's big signing. What is going to come of this whole thing? Because this is a thing that hurts everybody involved. If you look at this, you've got people, spending over $3,000 for a signature, which is crazy enough to begin with, not getting really what they paid for. It looks bad on Brady. And what does it do for promoters? Does this make people lose trust in a lot of autograph promoters and show promoters then?
Well, first off, it's—I don't think Brady cares, to be honest with you.
True.
He's at that level where he doesn't care. The people that got their stuff signed, basically, it got ruined. What do you do? You have them sign it again and, go over it a little bit and maybe have a picture of that. That's probably the only recourse you're going to be able to do. But I don't think Fanatics is going to be accommodating to help you with that.
And that's another $3,000 you have to pay, I'm sure, to get that redone like that.
It's crazy. It's
Yeah.
totally crazy. But that's, it's people that want to get their choice item signed and trying to save a little bit of money, maybe $1,000, or maybe Brady won't even sign it, period, anymore. But I personally have never gone for Brady, and never gotten him. I purchased them in a collection that it was certified, but it's the old adage. When someone calls me up and say, "Les, I want to sell you my collection," I got everything in person. I paid for them at all the shows. When did you pay for them? Over the last 10 years. And then I say to them, "I hate to tell you this, but it still needs to be authenticated. And whatever money you spent for that collection, you're not going to get it back,
Right.
because the stuff, like the Brady, the $3,500 for a shit autograph. Okay, it's off. You can probably get it authenticated, but you're not going to see $3,500 out of that from that autograph if it's on a football or something. So, but people got to realize that nowadays, getting autographs and paying for them all the time is not really a good investment. And if you're getting it just for pure enjoyment and you don't care, you don't mind, that's good. But when you're constantly buying it from from the shows, you're paying big money. Like, for example, I've been working on four baseballs. One is complete of all the 500 home run hitters, and I have three of them that only need bonds. Now, I think I have one up on eBay. I'm asking 15,000. There's another person that hasn't complete is asking 22,000. People don't realize that each one of those autographs after the original 11 was anywhere from $400 to $500 to add to those balls. I paid it because I think it's such a unique item. Hopefully one of these days I'll sell one of them. But that's another classic case of, most probably I will not get my money out of it for a while, until a bunch of them unfortunately leave us. But that's classic case. And people, unfortunately, like I said before, you just don't realize that by paying for the autographs, even though it's great and you get to meet them and enjoyable, if you're looking for it purely as an investment, I would say don't look at it that way.
Yeah.
But I mean, I've got a guy that was my financial backer when I had my auction company, and I sold him a Ruth ball, a 500 home run bat sign, 500 litho, a Hall of Fame bat with 60 some odd autographs on it. He said, Les, should I sell it now? I said, you should get it authenticated. If you don't need the money, which he doesn't, why bother to sell it? I mean, you're into it. You know, I sold him the Ruth ball for like $5,000 25, 30 years ago. That ball is probably $20,000, $30,000 ball. But like I said, if you didn't need the money, why bother to sell it now?
Right, right.
But if he needs the money, it's a huge profit. So I would tell anybody out there, if you're going to spend $3,500 on a Tom Brady autograph, take that money, put a little more to it, buy a vintage Babe Ruth, Ty Cobb, Honus Wagner, buy something like that that's not going to go down in value. It's already authenticated. And it's a baseball icon. Even Mantle autographs. You know, as you constantly look, the signed baseballs pricing has gone through the roof. And photos, I think, are still fairly reasonable. $350, $400, $500 in that area.
Going back to some stuff there with the Brady and authentication, a lot of the authentication companies have even said, we're not going to touch these. So that just seems to hurt it even worse because, I mean, it's like, okay, they know that it was signed by him, but still it looks so nothing like him. And I don't know, something like that with that crap signature that he was giving seems to be like it might be easier to potentially forge there. So I kind of am interested in knowing exactly why they won't, but at the same time, it's like it kind of makes sense because that is not his usual thing for sure.
No, it's true.
Yeah. And along with that, too, I mean, you mentioned just, I mean, going to shows and getting stuff done like that and just some of the prices of the money you have to sink in for getting all that done. I definitely agree with you there because, I mean, you look at a guy like Wade Boggs, for example. If you're like me and you like getting, you know, certain cards signed for sets or like players' rookie cards signed, Wade Boggs, great TTMer, $10 a card, $25 for rookies. If you do that at a show, it's going to be so much more. It's like, okay, you've got the peace of mind of seeing it signed right in front of you. You've got the security of being able to carry that item right to the show and everything. But at the same time, that is a lot of extra to have to give up on somebody like that.
Like I said before, it just doesn't pay.
Yeah. Any other stuff that's been going on lately that you can think of that's worth talking about here in the autograph hobby? I know it's been that Brady has been the big one that's been on my mind here for the last few weeks now, for sure.
Well, the constant crazy prices people are paying for like some of these newer guys.
Oh, geez, yeah.
The rookie cards. I mean, look at Strasburg when he first came up. Was it $35,000 or $60,000 for a mint rookie card of his?
Yeah.
And now, unfortunately, he's done. I mean, what's that card worth now?
Definitely not anywhere near that. I mean, one World Series and what, maybe 150 wins for his career? I don't have the numbers right in front of me here, but it can't be too high. He's never going to touch 300, that's for sure.
He's done.
Yeah.
He's done.
Yep. I'm just trying to think. I mean, it seems like you're never going to see some of those big numbers like that at all. I mean, 300 wins, you see, that was kind of the benchmark for a Hall of Famer, and there's nobody around now who's ever going to get close. I mean, even like Verlander, for example, he's not going to touch 300 at all in his career. It's just so weird, it seems to me. I mean, with the way the game is changing there and seeing how these numbers change and what's going to be the new Hall of Fame benchmark, you know, for some of these guys like that? Is there going to be one even?
Yeah, well it's going to be dominance is going to be the first thing.
Yeah.
You know, Shohei Ohtani is going to be a Hall of Famer no matter what his stats end up being. Like you said, Verlander and Scherzer, those guys are Hall of Famers. It's going to have to be pure dominance. And you know, Judge obviously will be a Hall of Famer. You know, the statistics are going to be all watered down. You're not going to see any more 500 home run hitters because, you know, no one's going to be able to stay around that long.
Yeah. Just thinking a little bit about some of the names coming up right now. You mentioned, you know, a lot of these, you know, people playing just crazy amounts for rookies, guys that haven't even proven themselves yet. Are there any that you can think of that are worth any of the prices at this point. Like within maybe the first, obviously, I mean, nobody's going to be paying that much on some of these minor league guys, but anybody who's been like 3 or 4 years, you can look at and go, that might actually be worth it.
What do you mean to pay for their autographs now, you're saying?
Pay for their autographs, their cards, anything like that, any of the crazy amounts that are coming out. Are there any that might actually end up being a bargain in the long run, the price they're at now?
Certainly Ohtani stuff at Fanatics, like $2,000?
Something like that, yeah.
You're just not going to see that.
Right.
I don't see any way. Yeah, and his handwriting is horrendous.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I don't see it, but I could be wrong. There are a lot of nut jobs out there that will spend whatever it takes.
Yeah.
I mean, I just played a message for myself. A guy I was looking to buy his baseballs, he had about 200 baseballs. I figured at a high end retail, not even including getting them authenticated, it was maybe 5,000 to 8,000. Mm-hmm. He told me a guy sent him a blank check and he sold it for 28,000. I said, well, I got to call him back and say, wow.
Jeez.
Give me that guy's number. I'll sell him my inventory.
No kidding. Yeah.
And that's always,
it's always amazing that, I mean, just the estimates I find people making sometimes on stuff. It's like, there's a collector here in the DFW area who for some reason has like valued his entire collection at $10 a card per signed card. And I'm thinking, you're insane. You're never going to get that on any of these guys. This is all like, you know, especially like prospects and everything. I mean, three quarters of those guys even aren't even going to pan out at any point. They're going to be dollar cards in a few years. And yet I'm sitting there thinking, dude, you're insane. Which, I mean, if it's for insurance purposes, like, okay, yeah, I can see that. And even that's kind of ridiculous, it seems to me. But yeah, it's just, I don't know. It just seems so weird some of the prices that are being paid out now.
To tell you the truth, I used to have 20,000 signed cards in all sports, predominantly baseball. And I sold it to a dealer. I think I got maybe 75 cents or a dollar a card, maybe a little more.
Right.
But, and they in turn had to get everything slabbed. So that's another 15, maybe $10 to $20 to get that all done. I was just happy to get rid of them, to be honest with you.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, every show, I'd have to move 20,000 cards to fill all the holes, you know, edit the listings and everything. Then I was kind of happy just to be out of it. But people want that stuff. But $10 a card seems like a high number.
Yeah.
If I were evaluating the cards as far as appraisal, insurance values, $10 would be a strong number.
Yeah.
Very strong number. It'd have to be some decent names. Mm-hmm. Because most of those cards, like the guys that don't make it, 50 cents, a dollar if you're lucky, even if they pass away, maybe get a few bucks, but they got to have made it to the majors.
I mean, you look at a site like ABC Unlimited, for example. It's, you know, they sell a ton of autograph cards through there, and the majority of his inventory is 75 cents to $2. And you know that he's not going to be paying anywhere near that price to just flip them for that much either. So, yeah.
Remember in the industry, you can ask whatever you want. It's a matter of what you're going to get.
Exactly.
You know, I know from day to day selling for all these years that I could put any number I want on it. It's a matter of what that person's going to actually pay me for it.
Right. A card or an autograph is only worth what someone will be willing to pay. It goes that way in just about any kind of sales.
Fair market value.
Yeah. So there you go. Well, any other thoughts here before we head on back into the main portion of the show here?
Well, I'm going to be doing a boxing show up in Canastota in a few weeks.
Nice.
That should be interesting. There's no huge names going to be inducted. I mean, we have Ricky Hatton and Michael Moore are the bigger names, and Diego Corrales. Everybody else, if I mention the names, you're not going to even know who they are.
Right.
Wallace Matthews, Fred Sternberg, Kenny Adams, Nick Charles, Jackie Kalin, Yvonne Calderon, Jane Couch, and Anna Maria Torres. You're not going to even know who they are.
Yeah. Now, we've got about 2 months away from the National. We talk about that as it gets closer there. Are you already preparing for that, or is that something you're just always prepared for at all times, just about?
I don't know. People don't realize it takes a lot of preparation to get ready for a show. I might have spent a day and a half just figuring out my booth with the tables and the showcases and the electricity. And then I have to get passes that people, you know, people want me to get them passes, so I have to buy passes for them. It's a lot of work. And then I have to pay someone to truck my stuff down from New York to Cleveland. So it adds up.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would say in my particular case, before I make one single sale, I'm at least $6,000 to $7,000 in the hole. So when people come over and nickel dime me for stuff, and I hold firm, or I don't sell it to them, you know, they may get annoyed at me, but they don't seem to realize that there's a cost for everybody to set up at these shows, and the national has become one show that is not cheap.
Yeah, it's definitely an investment, and I mean, I can't tell you how many tables you go to there and you ask, hey, are you buying anything right now? And they'll say, no, I really don't do any buying until I've got my booth paid for. So, yep.
Well, I'm the other way around. I'm always buying.
Oh, yeah.
At the national, though, I found that the people that walk around don't seem to realize that they can't get retail prices when you're walking around.
Right.
You know, there's one particular dealer that was in New Jersey, a major dealer. He'd walk around with a suitcase. He was a multimillionaire. He'd walk around with a suitcase trying to get retail plus for his stuff. So to me, it was just a joke. Anytime I looked at his stuff, Les, why won't you buy anything? I said, if I buy from you, where am I going with it? Because you're 10 to 20% higher than me on almost everything. And, right. And I need some room to make some money.
Exactly, exactly. Somebody like that is definitely better off trying to find other collectors and selling straight to them at a side table or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, there you go. So we'll be, like I said, we'll be talking more about the national once it gets closer, about 2 months away on that. Always a big one. I'm not going to be able to go to it this year, unfortunately, but.
Why not?
Just the cost of travel right now is going to be a little bit too much for me for getting up there. But 2026, I'm definitely going to be out there in Chicago, going to make a whole big 2 week trip out of it again if I can. So be
Isn't
there
it
for
2025
it.
Is going to be Chicago?
3 years in a row, they're doing 2025, 2026, and 2027. All are going to be Chicago, which is a crazy run right there.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm looking to do another 2 week minor league graphing trip along with everything around that. So, I'm sure I'll be seeing you out there for it. But for this year, we'll just have to get your reports after it's over on how everything went.
It should be good as usual.
Yeah. I always like the IX Center. I mean, I'm biased as a native Clevelander just a little bit there, but I've always liked the shows out at the IX Center for sure.
I just wonder if they removed the Ferris wheel.
I've heard they have, which can be either good or bad. I mean, you have a little bit more space to work with on the floor there, but that's also a fun attraction for collectors to go and check out and just, you know, spend a few minutes up on there.
Should be good.
Exactly. So, hey, give us a plug real quick on where collectors can contact you if they have any questions, comments, if they want to see what you've got in your inventory.
Believe it or not, I still like to talk to people on the phone.
Yeah.
Even though most people kind of like email. So 516-933-7787 is my office number. Email lwolff1823@AOL. Website, Les Wolf Sports, LESWOLFFSPORTSLLC.com. Or if you want to go to my eBay store, it's Sports Autographs with Z's, SPORTZAUTOGRAPHZ. Or I'm on Instagram as Les Wolf Sports, Facebook, Twitter, you name it, LinkedIn. I'm on all of those as Les Wolf Sports. So I'm happy to respond to you. I'm happy to help you. And just keep on enjoying your collecting and try not to get discouraged by these crazy numbers that these guys are asking for their autographs.
Absolutely. I mean, find the fun in it anywhere you can. That's the aim of the game, it seems like, with this.
Sounds good.
So once again, Les Wolf, thanks for joining us on here.
Thank you.
And we'll see you again next month.
Sounds good. Have a good one.
Thanks to Les here once again for joining us. And again, going back to what I said before at the start of the intro, Les at least is okay with, you know, if you want to give him a call, if you want to do anything like that, go for it. But the rest of us, stick to email, please, for any time you want to contact us. That being said, look at some grading numbers here from the week as we look into making the grade.
Making the Grade is sponsored by CGC Cards. All card grading, all in one place. Certified guarantee company, CGC, devoted to the expert grading of collectible cards. Visit cgccards.com today.
Making the Grade is a summary of all things related to grading in the sports collectibles hobby, and we've got some numbers here from gemrate.com. Aaron, give us a rundown of how all the big four grading companies showed in their numbers here from, what is this, May 6th through the 12th is the week we're looking at here.
That's right. The week of May 6th through the 12th, PSA graded 288.7 thousand cards. That is up 2%. CGC graded 40.7 thousand cards, up 7%. SGC graded 35.1 thousand, and that is down 22%. And Beckett is up 10%, grading 15.7 thousand cards, for a grand total of 380.2 thousand cards graded the week of May 6th through the
12th. So you got numbers still going up across the hobby there. A little drop in SGC, but overall everything up a little bit there. So good to see things bouncing back after a kind of a crappy week a couple weeks ago there, but coming back strong. Not sure what caused it, but hey, it's bouncing back. Right now, it's time for the TTM Cast exclusive, The Big Three.
This week's Big Three is brought to you by Gemrate.com. Whose cards are hot and whose cards are cold this week? Let's find out from our friends at Gemrate.com.
The Big Three is given to us by Gemrate.com to tell you all about what players have been moving up and down the popularity list here in terms of cards being graded. This is exclusive to TTMcast. You will not find these numbers anywhere else. Well, Big Three risers from this week. Very basketball-heavy to start things out. Anthony Edwards is up 58%. Larry Bird has seen an increase of 38%. And out of nowhere in the baseball world, Chipper Jones up 24% here on his grading numbers this week. Big winner for the week was Anthony Edwards' 2020 Prism base rookie card, a 120% increase in numbers of those being graded this week over the previous week, and now a total of 11,000 copies have been graded in total across the big four grading companies. If you guys are falling off though here as well, Aaron, what do you got on those?
All right. So we have Yordan Alvarez of the Houston Astros down 14%. We have Devon Achan down 23%. And Braves superstar Ronald Acuna Jr. is down 25%.
Sure why the drop on those guys, but yeah, always interesting to see those numbers as they come out. But big thanks once again, GemRate.com, providing all of those numbers to us. You can follow them on Instagram and on Twitter at GemRate. All right, we've gotten through all of the things from Making the Grade. Let's give us TTM Cast stamp approval for this week.
I bet you're wondering, who earned this week's TTM Cast stamp of approval?
The TTM Cast stamp approval is just a way for us to show we're not just a bunch of freaking sports geeks, that we have other interests in our life, although sometimes it does still end up bleeding into sports, into collectibles and all that. But my stamp approval for this week is just, in general, tortas. Anybody out there who gets Mexican food, they probably think, you know, burritos. They think tacos, enchiladas, maybe a chimichanga here and there. You might go to the quesadilla. The torta tends to get forgotten by a lot of people. In fact, I'll admit, I didn't even know what a torta was until I moved down here to Texas, and even then, it took a few years. It was well until I was into the DFW area and in my 30s that I discovered, hey, these big-ass sandwiches are actually really good. And so, for anyone who's never had a torta before, usually it's this big loaf of bread. You slice it in half, and then you layer it. You put your meats on there, all kinds of meats, whatever kind of meat you want, just about. I mean, the one I had last night, which made me think of this, was Milanesa, which is like a thinly pounded breaded steak. Also, it had hot dogs. Had, God, what else was there? There's some avocado on there, some cheese, maybe some tomato, various sauces on it. You put almost anything you want on there. But, I mean, the biggest thing, meats, cheeses, sauces, avocado, anything else is just, I mean, you can pile it up all kinds of extra ways if you want to. Jalapenos, of course, on there too. But, yeah, if you have a Mexican place near you and you see a torta on the menu, go away from your burritos and your tacos for a day. Try out the torta. It is forgotten largely. It is not seen that often. I mean, like I said, I did not know about these until the last few years. Try out a torta. You will not regret it. So my TTM Cast stamp approval for this week is the torta, found at a Mexican restaurant near you.
I've got to tell you that that yes, Texas definitely has the best Mexican food. That is one thing I will say about my home state.
They do indeed. I will say, however, there are a few pockets here and there. My hometown up in Ohio has a 25% of the population is Hispanic, mostly having come from Mexico. We do it surprisingly well for Northern people. So don't sleep on it elsewhere, but at the same time, you're going to probably find the best stuff down here close to the border.
Indeed. And my stamp of approval for this week is the NHL, and I promise I'm not just saying this because Matt Duchene won the series against the Colorado Avalanche for my Dallas Star.
Get off the show. You're fired. Get out.
I guess you'll have to do the rest of the show by yourself. But no, I mean, come on. Just in general, there's nothing like playoff hockey. I mean, baseball is my favorite sport, but I mean, there's nothing like the drama, you know, of overtime playoff hockey. I mean, it's just, you can just shoot that into my veins. It's crazy good all the time.
Actually, just telling someone the other day that Game 6 would end up being one of those games that's like, I would absolutely love to watch that if I didn't have an interest in either team. Just because, I mean, watching it with an interest in either team is just, you know, so nerve-wracking on something like that. But, I mean, you had the Stars had the best road record in the NHL during the season. The Avalanche had the best home record in the NHL during the regular season. Both going up against each other in a potential, well, one team trying to move on in the series, the other team trying to fight for their playoff lives, essentially. So it's like, this is absolutely amazing matchup. And if it was any other teams other than the one that I actually cared about, I'd be like, oh, hell yeah, we got to watch this one. And I ended up not watching because I wasn't going to have any nails left if I did. So it's like, no, we're not going to do that.
Roger.
Jens are glaring at me too, like, yeah, you can't watch anyways because whenever we watch, they seem to lose. So yeah.
You know what, the Stars definitely lose when I watch normally too, but yeah, I mean it's just crazy. Yeah, and so I will stipulate that it is much better if you don't have a vested interest in either of the teams. But I mean, yeah, playoff hockey, man, you just gotta love it.
There you go. So it's another solid stamp of approval. Let's move on now and take a look at the Vern Rap Minutes. Vern Rap Minute is dedicated to the memory of Mr. Vern Rap. Our show founder, Jeff Baker, tried to mail to him for an autograph, not knowing that he had already died. So we provide this as a service to TTM collectors out there so you don't make the mistakes that we have had. And anytime anybody dies in the world of sports, celebrity music, movies, politics, anybody you might consider TTMing, if they've passed away, we will let you know about it. From this week, Ron Ellis died. Ellis was a former right winger for the Toronto Maple Leafs, a longtime Maple Leaf from 1964 to 81. He was patrolling the wing for them. 332 career goals for him in that time. He was also a member of the 1967 Stanley Cup winning squad, the last time that the Maple Leafs won the Cup. He was an excellent TTMer throughout his life. Ron Ellis was 79 years old.
We also have Bill Friday, who passed away at the age of 91. He was an NHL WHA ref from 1960 to 1979. He was the ref of the WHA's first and last game and the only ref to ever cover the WHA's Avro Cup and the NHL Stanley Cup. He was a good TTMer as well.
Football world, we lost Earl Edwards this week. Edwards played on a defensive line for the 49ers, the Bills, the Browns, and the Packers. From 1969 to 79, he finished second in 1969 Defensive Rookie of the Year voting. He played before they kept track of sacks, but in going back through and figuring out exactly how many these guys would have had, he was credited with 51 sacks in his career. Nice numbers there. He was an excellent TTMer. I forgot to write down his age, but yeah, unfortunately, I don't know what that is, but Earl Edwards died this week.
We also have Tom Marshall, who passed away at the age of 93. He was a forward from 1954 to 1959 with Rochester, Detroit, and Cincinnati. He has his jersey retired by Western Kentucky University, and he was also a good TTM.
About baseball, we lost Tom Tyshynski this week at the age of 79. He was a catcher for three seasons with the Minnesota Twins. He actually originally came up in the Cincinnati Reds organization, but you look at those years and you think Reds, you think catchers. He had Johnny Bendham, so the Reds were able to, I believe, trade or had him drafted by the Twins at some point, played three seasons with them. Tyshynski was an excellent TTMer, and once again, he was 79 years old.
Also have Buzz Steffen, who passed away at the age of 79 in 1968 with the Minnesota Twins. He made two starts, 11 innings pitched that year, and he had a 1-1 record. He was also a Seattle Pilots farmhand in 1969, and he was a good TTMer as well.
Into the entertainment world, Dennis Thompson died about a week ago, actually. Missed that news there when it happened, but Thompson was the drummer for MC5, the Motor City 5, a very well-known, influential punk band. They're one of the first punk bands of the late 60s to early 70s. He actually was the band's final surviving member, as I did not know that Wayne Kramer died back in February. So losing two members of MC5 here in the last few months. Not known yet if Thompson was a TTM or any point in his life. He was 75 years old.
And then finally, we have Dabney Coleman, who passed away at the age of 92. He was an actor. He was in many films. Main TV roles in Mary Hartman, Buffalo Bill, The Slap Maxwell Story, Drexel's Class, Recess, Boardwalk Empire, and The Guardian. He was often a comic relief villain in his roles. He had one Emmy and one Golden Globe, and he was a rare TT.
There you go. Those are, that's the very wrap minute for this week. Our condolences to anybody who has lost anyone this week. Let's move on now to the main reason why our show exists, why we all are here. It is our TTM Returns.
Was our mailbox full this week? Let's take a look at this week's TTM Returns.
Well, anything this week would have been better than last week for me. As you may recall, I had nothing that came in across the entire week. So had an empty mailbox there, had no in-person outings. It was a very, very quiet week for me there. But fortunately, things picking up a little bit this week as some of the stuff I mailed out a couple weeks ago is finally starting to make its way back to me. First one being Hall of Fame offensive lineman Dermonte Dawson played for the Steelers from the, I believe it was 88, it's up through about maybe the early 2000s or so, but here's another one I was able to add on one of those Hall of Famers rookie cards. He was inducted into the Hall in 2012 and got him on his pro set rookie card there, so got the first one of those knocked out. I guess I got to go for the score and the tops ones now after this, but got the first one done at least. He has a $10 fee, so if you're planning on mailing out to him, make sure you enclose that. Came back to me in under 2 weeks there, total time on that one. Also, for those of you who are fans of the old Houston Oilers, you'll recognize the name Elvin Bethea, another Hall of Famer from the class of 2003. Defensive lineman sat out the same day, same price, and took the exact same amount of time to come back. Difference being with this one, though, Bethea not only signed his rookie card, he also signed another one here. This is, what year is this? This is a Topps 2003 Hall of Fame card that he enclosed himself, added the Hall of Fame year on both of those. And that all came just with the $10 fee. Send one card, $10. Got two cards back, so definitely send off to him if you want a guy who's a Hall of Famer with a quick return and who will include some bonus items. So there you go. That's all I've got in this week, but still cranking a few out. I've got a couple more I need to write. I still haven't done my Steve Carlton ones yet. That'll be heading out soon. Like I said, I sent out Sandberg and Blylevin and a few others, so hopefully we'll get a few more rolling in here, and we'll keep on having stuff to talk about. Edward Littleton, what's your mailbox looking like?
All right, I actually had some stuff in it this week, so that was pretty cool. So I got back Gary Glover, who is a former pitcher for several teams, but most notably for my purposes with the Chicago White Sox. He signed three cards for me, including a set head for me, which is in the 2002 Upper Deck 40-man set. And so those are always awesome. That was one of my favorite sets growing up. I remember going to Kmart's. We haven't had a Kmart in Wichita Falls for, like, I don't know, a long time. But yeah. We'd go to Kmart, and they just have all those packs there. And so that set became, you know, easily one of my first loves in the hobby. So I always love getting those signed. So Gear Glover, I appreciate you helping me out with that. And I also have Riley Reif, who's a free agent now, offensive tackle, former Iowa Hawkeye, former Minnesota Viking, and former Detroit Lion, signed three cards for me. And former Rockies reliever Scott Oberg signed three cards. So looking good in the mailbox this week. Also, while I'm talking about TTM, last time I was on a few weeks ago, you asked me what was my longest return, and so I have done that research for you.
Yes.
So I went through, and it's crazy. I've been doing this since 2009, so I had to go through 100 pages almost of returns to figure out what it was. I don't have a fancy spreadsheet like you.
Get with the times. Jeez.
Hey, look, I try to live at all times in 1980. and so my longest ever, okay, of 3,000 returns that I've got is former NHL defenseman with a bunch of teams, Calgary Flames, Phoenix Coyotes, Adrian Offoin, and that is 3,288 days, the longest return I've ever got.
Nice.
But the
thing that might actually beat my Rod Langway one, because I know that was around 3,200 as well. So, yeah.
It's 9 years. It's crazy. But, it's always great to get those back. And it's the crazy thing about when I was doing this list, it's the top seven are all hockey guys. So,
oh, wow.
Hockey is in for the long haul, man.
Apparently so. Wow. That's kind of a surprise. You always hear about, hockey players are great signers. They're so nice. Yada, yada, yada. And yeah, here you go. 7 years this one takes. 9 years on this one. So, yeah. He's cool. Yeah. It's kind of funny. I was sitting here thinking, Gary Glover, when did he play? And when he said 02 Upper Deck 40 man, I'm like, there's no way that dude's name sounds like he would pitch in the 70s. And no, it's he's actually a Cleveland native. I did not know that. So, yeah. Born in Cleveland. Looks like he didn't last there long because he was drafted out of a high school in Florida. So, yeah, didn't stay there long, it seems like, there in Cleveland. But still, I was shocked on that. And I think more than anything, just shocked to find out that, he was, that he pitched in the 90s and 2000s. Because, you think the name Gary Glover, that sounds like so stereotypically 1976 or so. I don't know, but yeah. All right, well, there you go. We got a few things rolling into the mailboxes here this week, which is definitely a good thing. And I think that about does it for us here this week. Aaron, any other thoughts before we go ahead and sign off for the week?
No, thanks for having me. I'm told this will be my last time on because I'm a Stars fan.
Yes, exactly.
So it's been fun while it lasted. I appreciate it. If you're interested in any of the things that I do, whether it be the Eternal Graphing Tour, where I go around and try to see as many ballparks as I can and get as many autographs as I can, or my Michael Young collection. You can check me out. Instagram is the main hub for that at Aaron's Sports Card Explosion. Thanks so much for having me, Drew. It's been a blast as always.
And make sure also if you're trying to follow him on there, that's ARRON, not AARON. Just to clarify, this is the Aaron Asham spelling of the name. So
that is true.
Yep. All right. Well, once again, thanks to everybody for tuning in. Next week's show. Not sure yet what we're going to have on there. It's where I've had this kind of grapher DIY section, but we've got 2 weeks upcoming here where we've got had some open space, so not sure if we'll have another extra Collector's Corner segment in there or something else going on, but got a few people I might be talking to on that, so keep your eyes open. We'll figure out what we're going to do for that this week, and if you have any ideas, of course, feel free to send them to me at ttmcast@yahoo.com. Big thanks to Les Wolf for joining us here this week in the More From Less segment. Big thanks to Aaron joining us here in the co-host seat. And, of course, a big thanks to Ruthie Baker for putting everything together here for us, making sure it gets up online and out to all of your ears and wherever you're downloading your podcasts from. So, once again, thanks for tuning in. Wishing you many happy returns, and we will see you next week.
Hey, everyone, be good.